number 12 that was read in our hearing this morning of James chapter 1. The Bible says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. You answer yes to the question that I just asked testifies to the fact that the world in which we live is filled with temptations. And they come in all sizes, all forms, all shapes. John, by inspiration, describes temptation as the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 16. This is because we live in a fallen world that has been corrupted by Satan. We will be faced with this challenge of temptation until the end of time. Temptation will not go away. Temptation is like a terminal disease. All we can do is manage it. So in times of temptation, we have two choices. We either have to deal with temptation, or temptation will certainly deal with us. The question is, which will it be? Will you and I deal or manage the temptation that's come in our lives, or will we let the temptation take over and deal with us? But you know the good thing about the times of temptation, we don't have to deal with temptation alone. Because if we had to deal with it by ourselves and of ourselves, we'd be fighting a losing battle. So we don't have to deal with it alone. God made us, and he knows that our frame is just dust. Psalms 103, verses 13 and 14. So if we deal with temptation as God would have us to deal with it, we can be assured that victory will be ours. 2 Peter chapter 1, in verse number 3, the Bible says that God has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. And we gain that knowledge from his revealed word. So when we look at God's word, we can find practical ways to deal with or to manage our temptations. So in times of temptation then, since we all agree wholeheartedly that we're challenged with temptations, how should we and how can we deal with temptation? I want to leave with you this morning four ways to deal with temptation. Number one, we must first of all, and you've done that already, acknowledge that we have them. Acknowledge that we have weaknesses as humans. Ever since Sister Eve and Brother Adam said yes to Satan and no to God, we've been dealing with temptation. Paul would have the Roman Christians to know in Romans chapter 3 in verse number 10. He says in that passage that as it is written, there is none righteous, not even one. No, not one. Later on, he would say in verse 23 that all have sinned and come short or fall short of the glory of God. So we have weaknesses and frailties. And so we need to acknowledge that. If we're going to get any help with the temptation that come into our lives, we're going to be able to manage the temptation that we're bombarded with day in and day out sometime. We're going to have, first of all, acknowledge that I have a weakness. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 12, Paul says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men because all, he says, have sinned. So we have a problem of temptation. We have a problem of sin. We have a problem of human frailty, human weakness. And again, since there's none righteous, no, not one, Paul would further on would say, as he recognized this thing that was going on in his life in Romans chapter 7, he realized that there was no good thing that dwelled in him. What a terrible condition we're in because of Adam's and Eve's transgression, because of the corrupt nature of this world. As Paul wrestled with himself and with the problem that was going on in his life, he would say in verse number 18 of Romans chapter 7, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. I want to do it, but within my flesh, within me, I just can't find a way to do it. He goes on and he says, for the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Can't you see this tug of war going on in the Apostle Paul? Now, if I do that, I would not. It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. And the next verse he would say, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ. That's why I say we don't have to deal with this alone. Because if we deal with it alone, we'll be forever wrestling in this tug of war. And you know who's going to win? Satan is going to win. But because Jesus can give us the strength and the power to deal with our temptations, we can come through victorious. That's why James was inspired again to write, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, that go through temptation. He said, blessed is that man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life. Thank God we don't have to deal with it all by ourselves. But we'll not look for the help if we first don't acknowledge and recognize that we have the problem. We need to acknowledge that we have the problem. So when we realize that we all have sinned, then we go and we seek help for the problem. How do we do that? We need to trust in the power of prayer and Bible study of the Word of God to develop strength in our lives to be able to deal and to manage our temptations. In that model prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray, in Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 13, he says, "And lead us." This is the prayer. He says, you need to pray like this. "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." We need to pray to the Lord to help us in times of temptation. And you know, many times we are tempted. And to get out under that temptation, it takes a lot of prayer and it takes a lot of faith to get through that temptation. Jesus taught it on one occasion in Luke chapter 17, in verse number 3. He says, "Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day he return again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him." And then, you know what the next statement says? "And the apostle said, increase our faith." Lord, you telling us something that it's going to be hard for us to do. That's a hard temptation to endure. That's a hard challenge to forego. We need some faith in order to be able to do that. Sometimes there's some temptation that bombards us in our lives that's the only way that we're going to get through it, is that we're going to have some faith. So they say, "Lord, increase our faith." Now that was just 7 times in a day. But on another occasion, the Lord not only said 7 times, apparently they remembered that he had said on one occasion 7 times in a day. But over in Matthew chapter 18, in verse number 21 through 22, we find him saying there, Then came Peter to him and said, "Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till 7 times." Why did he say till 7 times? Evidently, he had already told them. He was in that audience when he said 7 times. So he says, "How oft should I forgive my brother? Till 7 times? I understand that. But then Jesus came on and said in the next verse, he says in verse number 22, and verse number 22, he says this, but then he goes on and says, "Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until 7 times, but until what? 70 times 7. Now, if they realize it took some faith for 7 times, you know they must have realized that it takes some faith 70 times 7. I want to say to us again this morning that we'll never be able to do that. Many times when folks sin against us, we're tempted not to forgive them. We're tempted not to forgive them 1 time, let alone 7 times. And certainly if it comes to 70 times 7, you know we're up against it then. It takes some faith to be able to do that. But again, there's no good thing in us that will ever prompt us to forgive somebody of our own accord 70 times 7. It takes the faith and the strength that God gives us in order to do that. How are we going to manage it again? We got to do some praying. We got to do some trusting in the Word of God. That I know this is a challenge, but Lord, I know you can get me through it. Because somebody says, if you bring me to it, you'll get me through it. So it takes some faith, it takes some prayer, it takes some trust in the Word of God to get us through challenging times in our lives. So we need to then resort to prayer and resort to the Word of God that our faith may be increased. How did Jesus get through the temptation that came into his life? He got through it through trusting in the Word of God. He would say, it is written. So trust in the power of prayer, the power of Bible study as we deal with our temptation. In all of this, I'm saying this, that we won't do this until we first acknowledge. That's my main point that I'm driving. We got to acknowledge that we are weak and that we have these problems and we need help to get through these problems. Otherwise, we will drown in our temptation. And Satan will have us exactly where he wants us to be. As we acknowledge then that we have these weaknesses and we have these temptations, then we need to strive to the best of our ability to avoid places and sometimes even avoiding people and avoiding things that will tempt us and swallow us up. I make the example many times of how I love banana pudding. Many of you know that. Now, if I know that I have a weakness for banana pudding, and if the doctor tells me to stay away from banana pudding, why would I keep on asking my wife, and why would she keep on making banana puddings for me? Because it's going to be hard for me to walk by that big old beautiful bowl sitting there looking so good with that nice brown meringue on it. I'm not talking about this banana pudding that you just mix up. I call that instant stuff. I'm talking about that stuff that you put in the oven and you get that crisp brown meringue on it. And I'll go there with a spoon that big. Now, if I know I got a weakness to that, why would I just keep on going by that table where that banana pudding is? I know I got a weakness of it. I'll need to go out the back door so that I can avoid it. Now, what I'm trying to say is that if we know that we got a weakness for certain things, we need to avoid those things to the best of our ability. Now, I know we can't go out of the world. By happenstance, we may encounter something, but it should not be our intention to make sure that we're going to hang around stuff and hang around people that are going to present temptation to us. Sometimes we think, I guess, that we're supermen, that nothing will affect us. But I want to tell us, if you hang around something long enough, it will affect you. Why do you think they keep bombarding you with advertisement on TV? You know, they know that if you keep looking at that, and it doesn't have to be something that's bad, but if you keep looking at that, eventually it's going to get into your psyche that I need to get that. I need to buy this dress. I need to get this car. I need to get whatever it is they advertise. They know how their mind works. The devil knows that. And so why would we keep hanging around something, keep associating with something that we know we have a weakness for, that we shouldn't have? Why would we keep hanging around it? We need to just avoid it. We're not doing ourselves any good at all by keep hanging around stuff, hanging around people, going to places that have things that we don't need to be involved in. We're not doing ourselves any good. We'll never be able to manage temptation in that way. So then certain places, certain people, certain things that just present us with temptation, we need to avoid. Drug houses, you need to avoid those places. You know you got a problem with it, you need to avoid those places. You need to look for other friends if you got that problem. Gambling problems. You need to avoid gambling joints if you got that problem. Alcohol shot houses, you need to avoid those places. Being alone with the opposite sex in private places, you need to avoid those kind of things. you know you got a weakness for it. So again, if we don't acknowledge it, then we won't seek any way to avoid it. So number one, acknowledge that we have a weakness as humans. Acknowledging that then, secondly, realize and know that temptations will come, so we need to be ready for them. When we acknowledge that we have a weakness because we're human, then we need to realize and know that temptations will come. It's not if they're coming, but they're going. They're going to come. So be ready for them. Paul said it like this when he wrote to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 13. Paul says, "Thou has no temptation taken man, but such that is what? Common to man." Temptation is going to come. So he says, but God is what? Faithful. Temptations are out there. As I said, they come in all sizes, shapes, forms. Temptations are out there. They're going to come. But he says, but God. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Now, since sin has entered into the world, God knows that we're going to be tempted. But God has provided a way for us to manage that temptation. He says, I'm going to help you manage it. I'm going to provide you a way of escape. And the things that I've just talked about when I said avoiding certain things, that's one way to escape, is to avoid being around these particular things. So he says, it's common to man. Don't think it's strange. It's common. But God says, I will provide you a way of escape. But you know what? We must want to escape. So oftentimes, we don't want to escape. The way is there, but we don't want to take it. The way was there for Eve to escape, but she didn't want to take it. You know why? Because she kept looking at that tree, and she saw that the tree was something to be desired. It was pleasant to the eye. I don't want to stop looking. That tree looks good. I know what God said. She recited it right back to the devil, what God had said. She knew what God had said, but that tree looked so good until she just couldn't stop looking. Sometimes you and I need to stop looking. We need to put our eyes somewhere else. Put our eyes somewhere else. God is providing us a way of escape. But we got to want to escape. Sometimes, talking about hearing God this morning, Brother Dennis, sometimes we want to hear the devil just a little. And the devil will say, just one time. How many times did Eve have to partake of the tree? How many times did Adam have to partake of the tree, the forbidden tree? One time, that's all it took. So sometimes we want to just listen to the devil just a little, because the devil will say, a little bit won't hurt. Every gambling addict, every sex addict, every drug addict, every alcohol addict, they didn't become an addict because they took many, many drinks or many, many puffs. They became an addict because they took one. If they had never taken one, they never would have become an addict. So it all starts with just one time. The devil wants us to think that one time won't hurt. I tell you this morning, and I believe you agree with me, one time will certainly hurt. So don't listen to the devil with his tricks. The devil doesn't care anything about you. He doesn't care anything about me. He doesn't care anything about anybody doing the will of God. All he wants to do is to deceive folks and to trick folks so that they'll spend eternity in hell with him. So I say to us then, realize and know that temptations will come, so be ready for them. Peter said it like this, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 and 9. He says, be sober. Be vigilant. Why, Peter? He says, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, he walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He's out there right now, seeking whom he may devour. He's right in the worship service, trying to get your mind off what you're supposed to be doing. He's in the worship service, trying to say that, well, he's going to preach too long today. He's in the worship service, said. He shouldn't sing but three songs. He's in the worship service. How long are they going to stay at the communion table? The devil is rude, trying to get people to turn their minds away from God and listen to him. He's walking as a roaring lion, the Bible says, seeking whom he may devour. But Peter went on to say, whom resists steadfast in the faith. That's that word faith again. Without faith, you'll never be able to resist the devil. Knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. I say that temptation is common. Everybody, at some time or other, will be tempted. So we're not in this thing by ourselves. Your temptation may not be in the form of my temptation. My temptation may not be in the form of somebody else's temptation. But everybody is going to be tempted. But the devil wants us to think, again, that I'm the only one that's having problems. Everybody else is all righteous. They don't have to worry. They don't have to fight this. They don't have to fight that all. Everybody else having problems. But they are not like my problems. I'm the worst off. No, no. Peter says, everybody got problems. Everybody going to have to fight off these temptations. So again then, nobody is immune. And you know when we realize that everybody have problems? And when we realize that we have problems, it will help us to be considerate of others when we may not be having the problem at that time, but when somebody else is having a problem, we can be more sympathetic. That's what Paul, I believe, was talking about by inspiration in Galatians chapter 6 in verse number 1 and 2. He said, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, he said, ye that are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. And then the next verse he says, bear you one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Because we all have temptations, and we all are subject to fall. Then I can be more sympathetic to you when you fall. You can be more sympathetic to me when I fall, realizing that we all have problems with temptation. But when I think, I don't have to worry about anything, then I'm going to always be wondering, why are you having so many problems? Why can't you get over that? Why can't you work through that? But when I realize that I have my challenges, just like you have your challenges, I can be more sympathetic. So again, we need to realize and know that temptations will come, so be ready for them. So number one, acknowledge them. Number two, know that they're coming and be ready for them. Resisting the devil. Because again, I says, he doesn't care anything about us. You know, he's just like the thief that Jesus talked about in John chapter 10. He said, "A thief cometh but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy." He said, "But I am come that you may have life, and that you might have it more abundantly." So all the devil wants to do is to steal our joy, to steal our souls, to kill our spirits, to destroy our confidence in the Word of God. He's out to get us. He doesn't mean any good. So know that they're coming. Be ready for them. Thirdly, as we deal with managing our temptations, understand that temptation leads to sin, and sin leads to death, spiritual death. Why is it so important for us to understand that? Is because nobody, I'm sure, wants to die spiritually. Because if we die spiritually, we'll be forever separated from God. If we leave this world having died spiritually, we'll be forever separated from God. And we don't want that. We talked a few Sundays ago about the judgment. We don't want to stand in the judgment having died spiritually and hear God say, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity." So we need to realize then and understand that temptation leads to sin, and sin leads to death. Notice how James describes it. James chapter 1 again, in verse number 14, he says, "But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust has conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, it bringeth forth death." So sin then, a temptation I should say, leads to sin, and sin leads to death. And we don't want to die spiritually. So we're drawn away of our own lust. When lust conceives, it brings forth sin. Sin is finished, it brings forth death. Romans 6:23, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life." Therefore then, when I'm overcome with temptation, I need to quickly repent. Because why? I don't want to die spiritually. That's what repentance is all about. So that we don't die spiritually. Because Jesus said in Luke 13:3 and verse 5 also, "Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish." He's talking about dying spiritually. We don't want to die spiritually. So again, we need to always keep in mind of that coming judgment. And then lastly this morning, I say it again earlier and I say it again right now, that God knows that we have these weaknesses, that we have these problems. He has given us His Son, Jesus Christ, to help us when we have these problems. So we need to then rely upon Christ for help to overcome our problems of temptation. He was made in the flesh. Hebrews chapter 2 says He didn't take on Him the seed of angels. Or didn't take on Him the nature, rather, of angels. But He took on Himself as the seed of Abraham. He became flesh, so that He could help us in our times of temptation, so that He could become a pitiful Savior, that is, a merciful Savior unto us. He went through the same things that you and I are going through. He was tempted, the Bible says, in all points, just like we were. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 15 and 16, "For we have not a high priest which cannot be tempted," cannot be touched, I should say, "with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points," not some points, you hear that? There's not a point in our lives of temptation that we can say, "Lord, you don't understand what I'm going by," because you had been there. He can come right back to you and say, "Had you read Hebrews chapter 3 or chapter 4? Had you read that? Don't you believe my word that says I was tempted in all points like as you? But the only difference between me and you is because I didn't sin. But because I understand what you went through, when you are tempted and what you are going through when you're tempted, then I can help you. So the next verse says then, let us therefore come boldly, not arrogantly, but boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. So don't try to handle your temptation and your sin problems all by yourself. You'll never be able to do it. You need to go to the throne of grace and let Jesus help you. And he'll strengthen us. He'll give us the strength. If we really want to overcome it, he'll give us the strength to get through it. He'll give us the strength to endure it because he wants to give us a crown. Blessed is the man that endures temptation, for when he's tried, he said he shall receive a crown. The Lord wants us to receive that crown. But we got to endure the temptation. And the Lord says, I'll help you to endure. Isn't God good? Isn't he a great God that will help us to endure? In essence, God is there pushing us on in this race because he wants us to be crowned at the end of life. He'll help us. He'll strengthen us. 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 4, the Bible says, ye are of God, and he's writing to Christians. Ye are of God, and that's why everybody needs to be a child of God. Everybody needs to be a Christian. Everybody needs to be in Christ. Because that's why our spiritual blessings are in Christ, Ephesians 1 and verse number 3. All our spiritual blessings, they're in Christ. So the strength that we need to get through this life, through the struggles and the cares of this life and the temptations that we're bombarded with, all that strength is in Christ. So if you're not in Christ, you don't have the strength. I'm encouraging you then today to be in Christ so that you can have the strength to get through this life. So again, John says in 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 4, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Oh, that ought to give us all kinds of confidence, church. That ought to help us in our times of struggles with temptation. Yes, indeed. Christ is greater than anything that we'll face. And again, back to Galatians chapter 6, the verses that I shared with you earlier in Galatians 6, 1 and 2. Our spiritual brethren can help us in our times of struggles. So don't be afraid to go to your brethren. And the brethren means sisters also. Go to one another in times of struggle and ask for help, ask for strength, ask for prayer. As a matter of fact, that's what James chapter 5 and verse 16 is all about. Confess your faults one to another and pray ye one for another. For the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So if you're having problems with a certain weakness in your life, don't be afraid to let somebody else know. Confess your faults, the Bible says, one to another. Because we all got faults. We all got weaknesses again. We all are faced with temptation, so we can help one another. What did you do when you was faced with this? How did you handle when you were faced with that? We can share one with another and then get on our knees and pray one for another. We can find strength in one another. That's God's way of helping us to get through times of temptation. But again, if we are not in Christ where those spiritual blessings are, we're going to miss the help. So again, I say, we all have to deal with temptation. So we must deal with temptation, or temptation will deal with us. And we don't want temptation to deal with us, because we're going to lose unless we deal with it. But again, we don't have to do it by ourselves. We got help along the way. Help is not on the way. We already got help. Right along the way. He's walking right along with us. Jesus is our advocate. That word advocate comes from the word paraclete, which means one that walked right beside you. So when we're going through temptations, Jesus is walking right beside us, saying, I'll help you to bear this temptation. Look to me for your strength. Look to me for your guidance. So may we all then do what we can not to yield to temptation. That's a song that we sing sometimes, and we know it, I'm sure. Yield not to temptation. Jesus is our advocate. John says, 1 John chapter 2, my little children, write I these things to you that you sin not. But if you sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous, who is the propitiation for our sins, but not for ours only, but for the sins of the entire world. Thank God for that paraclete. Thank God for that advocate. Thank God for that one who walks right beside us. And when we do fall, John says that we confess our faults, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thank God for what we have in Christ Jesus. We have a helper in times of temptation. But if you really want that help, you got to be where the help is. The help is in Christ Jesus. Are you here then today? Not in Christ, not a member of that family, that church that he came to establish and did establish when he died on the cross of Calvary. It's the church of Christ. There is just one church. Everybody needs to be a member of that one church. How do you become a member so that you can truly deal with the temptations? You hear and believe the gospel, Acts 15:7, and repent of your past sins, Luke 13:3. You confess your faith in Jesus Christ, Matthew 10 and verse 32. You go down in a water agreeable baptism for the remission of your sins, Acts 2 and verse 38. When you do that, the Lord will add you to his church. You become a member of his church. Then you have help in times of temptation because you're going to need it. You expect to get to heaven. If I expect to get to heaven, I'm going to need some help. And Jesus is the help that we need to get us to heaven. If you're not a member of the body tonight, this morning, I encourage you to become a member. You're already a member, but somehow you've not been dealing with the temptation. You've allowed temptation to cause you to sin. I hope and trust that I've encouraged you to turn away from whatever it is. If you need to confess this morning, do that. Maybe you just need prayer to help you or to help someone else. Whatever your need is this morning, I want to encourage you to come. Do it right now while we stand, while we sit. To say on the every is this I the would you come to the Lord this morning? Would you come?